Addie, don't you cry. Addie, don't you be afraid. Hallelujah. That's it right there. That's the message. That's the message. I'm telling people that you can trust God for a new kind of life, and God will never lead you astray. Never. God will never let you down. If you'll believe Him for a new kind of life, a new way of living, God will come through and He will answer that prayer. And when you receive Christ, He will change your life from the inside out. We're very good at changing ourselves from the outside, and maybe some of it gets in and maybe not. But God works exactly the opposite of that. He changes us from the inside out. A total new creation. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what I want. That's what you want too. So many of you, you are afraid. And we're living in fearful times. That doesn't mean we have to live in fear. If we know the rock, if we know the foundation that is solid and sure, His name is Jesus Christ. And He invites you today to have a change of life, to have a change of heart, and to begin to experience life as He intended. This is where the churches need to go. The church needs to go down to a place called Market and Vine. That is the truth today. We just don't know what some people are praying for. We don't know when we might be chosen by the Lord. Not to have a name in a lit up marquee, not to go down in the annals of the Pentecostal Hall of Fame, not to write a brand new book to get out on the Times or the New York bestseller list, whatever. We might be chosen by God, handpicked by the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the answer to that prayer that some child is praying down on Market and Vine right now. Instead of, like the line in the song, they keep on building bigger, they keep on saying they care, but seldom do you see just one of them there. And that has been my experience, my friends. And it's something that I'm convinced that Jesus wants to change. If you'll take a look with me in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, and also verse 17, here's what the scripture says. That evening, they brought to Him, Jesus, this is the ESV, by the way, many who were oppressed by demons, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. And I want you to understand that Jesus' miraculous healings did more than just heal broken bodies. They did do that. Jesus healed broken bodies, but also the healing miracles of Jesus restored community. And that's what we were talking about a little while ago, is that we want to see the gospel be where the gospel was intended to be and go. And that is in our communities, in our cities, in our towns, in our villages, where we work, where we shop, where we go to school. These are the people that need Christ. This once shunned leper that Jesus had just ministered to moments before could now walk freely among the people and worship at the temple again, because Jesus healed him. See, it restored not only the man's body, but it restored community. The formerly blind and lame didn't have to beg for a living anymore. Those who were freed from demons had peace in their hearts, and their neighbors no longer lived in fear of them. That's what I was talking about the prisoners. You know, we don't have to live in fear of them if their hearts are changed. And their hearts cannot be changed if the gospel doesn't reach them. Jesus' healing also extends to the heart of people, restoring the connection between us and God. And so when we speak of healing in the gospel, we're not only talking about physical bodily healing that incidentally has not been done away with. You cannot find me a scripture that tells me that the gifts are done away with, miracles are done away with, There is not a scripture that says that, and there are a few scriptures that people try to use, and I have an answer for your scripture. Because I've heard those arguments before, and I want to tell you something. I still believe in a God who works miracles and has mighty power and can change the human heart, can change the human body, can change the human mind, and can clean up the sinner and make them a saint. I believe in a gospel like that. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ that has the power to change someone for eternity in every possible way of our lives that was affected by the fall. Everything that Satan accomplished in the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, Jesus Christ has undone that at the cross, and he has redeemed us, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We are redeemed. Hallelujah. Therefore, we have an obligation to take the Word of God and to stand upon the Word of God. And when he says, by his stripes you were healed, it doesn't matter what my physical experience in that moment is. What matters is that his Word does not change. And if it was by his stripes we were healed, then today it is still by his stripes you are healed. When the Word of God says that if we will give, it shall be given unto us, I have an obligation to my Savior that bled and died on the cross of Calvary to believe that scripture. I have an obligation to him. He did not die for nothing. He did not die in vain. And I can receive because of his blood, not because of anything on my merit, but because of his blood, I can receive everything God wants to give me in this life, and that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and the death that he died on Calvary's cross. I'm not talking about becoming a millionaire. I'm not talking about becoming a rich and famous. I'm simply talking about the blessings of God. I'm talking about the Word of God tonight. Jesus, the same time he lifted up a paralyzed man to his feet, he forgave his sins in the same breath. Look in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. The Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, opened the eyes of the blind, both the physically blind and the spiritually blind, to see themselves and to see him in a clear light. And that's what God's doing in the earth to this very day. It has not stopped. It has not passed away with the last apostle. It didn't come to an end when the Bible was written. I've heard all of these things before, but I'm telling you, we live in a time, we live in an age and in an hour where we need the power of God just every bit as much as they needed it in the book of Acts on the streets of Jerusalem and the streets of Rome and the streets of Ephesus. We need the power of God in the streets of America like we've never needed it before, to touch those little babies who are sick, to touch those children who are out using and abusing drugs and have run out from under mama and daddy's care and mom and dad's roof, and they're out there alone and they made a mistake but they don't know how to get back. But Jesus built the bridge and gave them the way back through the cross of Calvary, and we just need to be messengers that go forth and tell them the message and tell them the good news. Amen. And that's what this gospel is all about. This gospel isn't about how many I had in Sunday school or how many I had in attendance on Sunday morning. Because you see, we all need restoration. And we need reconnection with our communities and with God. Our Savior knows what you or your loved ones are going through tonight, physically or spiritually. He's heard your prayers. Pastor Carter Conlon posted something on his Twitter today that I retweeted. It says, don't let your present storm cause you to lose sight of God's purpose for your life. And I'll tell you, that ministered to me today. The present storm that you're in, God has heard your prayers. You have prayed for a long time. You have believed God. You have been faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He hasn't forgotten you. He has heard your prayers. He has heard your cry. The one who can raise the dead to life again can strengthen your heart to trust in him, to redeem and bring blessing from even the worst of situations that we might find ourselves in. That's why I told you earlier, don't ever give up on a man or a woman who's in jail. Because God can restore a good to come out of that situation wherever they find themselves. There's nothing we can suffer where God will not come near to us to comfort us. I want to say that again. There is absolutely nothing that you and I could suffer, nothing, 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 where God will not come alongside us and draw near to us to comfort us in our time of need and in our sorrow. You see, God understands the human condition, and he has power over all things. He sent Jesus to the cross because he loved humanity, and he provided a way of restoration simply by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when we get that, then it gets in our heart to share his love with others. It is a natural outgrowth of being born again that you want to tell others. You want to see others get born again. You want to share the gospel. You want to share your faith. You want to give people a Bible. You want to give them a prayer book, whatever the case might be. And we need thousands of people out there doing just that in this country right now to bring America back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it's not enough to just gather in our churches on Sunday morning and let the whole city around us just go to hell in a handbasket. But we're in church, we're comfortable, we're believing for a raise in pay, we're believing for this, we're believing for that. That's great, well, wonderful, and good. But we need to reach out like the early church. Jesus left the commission of the church in the hands of his capable disciples, and they teach us in the word that we are to reach out, even at the cost of our reputations, even at the cost of our lives, at the cost of our health, at the cost of everything that we hold dear. There is a message that is more important than me. There is a message, there is a cause that is more important and worthy of dying for if the need should arise. It's more important than my comfortable little niche in American society with my retirement plans and my 401ks and all of the things that life has had to offer, as wonderful as those things are, and I'm not against that, and I have that in my life, but life and this message is so much more than any of that. And someday those things can get pulled out from underneath us and leave us stranded on the beachhead of life. But this gospel message will never change. It is the solid rock and foundation for everybody to build every life upon. And it will never change. You might lose your retirement. You might lose your health insurance. You might lose your life. But this message will read the same way tomorrow as it reads today. And this is the rock and the anchor that people are looking for. And you and I have the not only responsibility, but we have the great privilege of sharing this good news with them. We have the privilege of going out there knowing that God has power over all things. Lord, because you do, give me the strength to comfort and pray for people in my life who are suffering. Through all things, Lord God, help me to keep my eyes on you. And a prayer like that, God will answer. And I want to tell you something, friends and listeners and partners and supporters, we appreciate all that you do for this ministry. And we make this commitment to you that we will bring the message that the Holy Spirit lays on our heart to bring. We will not be swayed by denominational politics. We will not be swayed by guilt by association. We will not be assuaged if we feel that God is speaking it. We will share it with you because we believe in you, that you can go out and you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have an anointing on your life, and you can go out and reach your communities. And if sometimes we need a pep rally. At other times, we need a time of instruction. Some other times, we need prayer. Whatever the need might be, that's why this programming exists, is simply to lift up the name of Jesus and to encourage you. You can go all the way. You don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. You don't have to live frustrated and discouraged. But you can be everything that God intends for you to be. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood for you. He didn't just die so that you could live a mediocre life. And I'm not talking about getting stuff or living the American dream. I'm talking about the blessings of God. I'm talking about the Word of God. He didn't die so that we could be mediocre. He died so that we could carry this revolution that he started. Come on, somebody. And we can keep that revolution going even today. And it's going around the world at unprecedented rates because God's people are losing their fear and their shackle and their sin. And they're beginning to be conformed into the image of Christ. And that's the plan, folks. That's the plan. And that's why we exist as a ministry. That's why we continue to reach out, even on a daily basis, somewhere around this world. And we are blessed to have so many people associated with us in this hour. We believe that no matter what we go through, God will draw near to us. He will comfort us and he will sustain us even in the darkest night and our weakest moment. And I leave you with that word tonight. We've got some more programming. I've got some more announcements, but I leave you with this word. As I go to have this surgery, and I don't know the compensation that I'll have to make preaching going forward, but I will tell you this. I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ until I draw my last breath. I will say it in broken sentences if I have to. I will say it with sweat running down my forehead as I try to make the sounds come out correctly if I have to. I will say it until my heart weeps because it's the only message that means anything. This entire life that I've lived, all of the years that God allows me to live, I don't know how many they're going to be, but the only thing that matters at all is what we did with his message. It doesn't matter what we own. It doesn't matter how we look. It doesn't matter how we sound. It doesn't matter if we're not as good a preacher as the next guy is. None of that matters. What matters is what do we do with this message? And I will tell you this much. Come 15 February, when you tune into this radio programming, whatever's being played, whoever's preaching, if it's me or someone else, it will be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be uncompromised, bold, and assertive as we present humanity with the only message that's worth a flip. In all of the philosophies, in all of the things that man has dreamed up over the past few hundred centuries, the only thing that matters, the only thing that's worth a flip, the only thing that's worth a fake penny is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all the philosophy in the world, you can put it in a pile and burn it up and it doesn't matter. Not one single life will be affected. But if you don't have this gospel, people can't get born again. And so no matter how we sound, no matter what we have to do to correct situations or whatever the case might be, we will still be here proclaiming this message on this radio program, on our local television program, in local churches, and in communities across this nation until the Lord Jesus Christ takes me home. And that is my commitment to you as my friend and as my brother and sister in the Lord and as my partner. We aren't going to stop And we're not going anywhere. If there's hurdles, if there's challenges placed in our way, we will meet the challenge, not because we are strong, because I'm not that strong, but the strong one lives within me. His name is Jesus Christ, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will put us over. So I have this advice for you as I close this little message. If you have a need in your life today, whatever that need might be, I want you to sing your praise to the Lord and begin to praise Him right in the devil's face through all the hurt and the suffering that he's trying to cause. Just begin to praise the Lord. Sing your praise to the Lord, and Jesus will never let you down.